thought you were going to do the intro.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Overflow Podcast.
Right as Alex started, you took a sip of your coffee.
I didn't know. I thought you were kidding. But we're here.
Hey, Overflow.
And we are. I'm joined alongside Sally Peavy and Alex Quintano.
Yo, yo.
I knew it in my head.
Okay. What?
No,
Alex, did you say it wrong?
I did.
You hesitated?
I hesitated.
He likes to say my last name, but he likes to also alter my name.
I've never done that.
Yeah.
It's been
the story of our lives.
Alejandro
for the
Quintana,
past 6 years.
Usually
Alejandro Quintana Jr. Quintana. The third.
Yeah, which I'm not a third.
Or a junior.
I'm a second.
Are you?
Yeah.
So you are a junior.
I'm a second.
He's a second.
Yeah, I'm a Roman numeral two, baby.
Okay. You know,
let's go, bro.
That is so classy.
Yeah, it is. It is, man.
Well, guys, I'm a little sad.
Why?
Because the last one before the summer. So
we're done?
Oh my God, we're about to do the exact same thing we did last night. Yeah, we're done forever.
Oh,
no,
my gosh.
People are sad. No, we're not done forever, just for the summer. Have a great summer, everybody. We're going to finish up with this conversation on Revelation 4. It's a lot to unpack. Great message on Sunday. We've been talking about it a lot this morning. So I'm kind of excited to dive back in. I did a little bit of my own research, as you encouraged us to do, to go back and study some things. So I brought a few things that I also found in some commentaries, just that, if you can, bring it even more to life than your message, which was already so enlightening. It was just awesome. So a great Sunday all around, too. Sure. It was just my favorite thing that's happening, and I know you call it a challenge, but we kind of say this behind the scenes, that we're really just calling people to do the things that God's already calling them to do. So it may feel challenging in our flesh, but really once we're in the spirit, we're like, oh, this is the most natural thing.
Wow.
You kind of shared an experience from someone kind of mentioning that. Yes, like there is a flesh battle, a flesh pride to not give everything to Jesus.
Well, it's surrender.
Yes.
That's what we are called to do. But of course, your flesh does not want to allow you to do that.
Yeah.
So you fight that internal battle, which is okay.
Yeah.
If you feel that tug and that pull, that's a good thing.
It is.
You got the spirit working with the flesh. So,
and we'll give you the terminology to work with. And also, that is God drawing you.
Yeah,
that's it.
And the Holy Spirit is never going to give up on you.
Mm.
But there is a degree where if you feed too much in your flesh, then you are blinded and how do you say, you're just deaf to the things of the spirit. So
that's good, Alex.
Yeah. So the fact that you feel that flesh spirit battle, surprise, surprise, he's fighting for you.
Yeah.
That's the evidence of the spirit being alive within you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love that. So I feel like we are seeing that and experiencing it. Yeah. And I had this thought too, because I know we've talked about like just numbers in general. Like there are Sundays where like I can't, like, wow, all these people came to church. Like, this is crazy. Because again, I'll mention, we never talk numbers. We're never like, how can we get this many numbers in a seat? Mm-hmm. I've never been in a meeting here that is like that. So it's just funny when people show up, you're like, oh my gosh, people want to come here. But I did have this thought that sometimes those things do ebb and flow, because when you are calling people to live in the spirit and their flesh is fighting that, some people might be like, I don't want to be challenged spiritually today. And so anyway, it just gave me comfort. It doesn't matter if the seats are full. It doesn't matter if there's gaps. Like the people who are there, God is drawing, he's speaking to, he's touching, and he will move in their lives. And that's significant. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that was just
what we have been teaching. What the Spirit has been leading us to teach is not popular teaching.
Yes.
But it will save your life.
We got a message even after we sent after the newsletter went out on Thursday. We got a response that was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Thank you for like being a church that would actually go through Revelation. Cause I guess that's a thing that maybe some people get fearful of or just shy away from that, but it's so important. And honestly, if it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, we want to know.
Here's what's crazy. After saying we're going to do it, I've had a lot of people say they've been reading Revelation, and it's funny.
Yes.
So like people read it, but pastors are afraid to teach it. And I'll be honest, I am too. Yeah. It's nerve wracking, because I think I said this first service, it's not, we can look at the New Testament and the Old Testament and see, because it's historical facts and this is not yet occurred, most of it. So it's interpretation, it's prophecy, and we won't have all the answers.
Yes.
And that's what's so hard sometimes, is we want to give people answers as pastors, but that's not our role. It's to teach Jesus.
Yes. I'm trying to find, there was a quote that I read about this, about, you know, It was a Spurgeon quote. So obviously I'm having trouble finding it right now, but it's all about what we know is what we are meant to know.
Yeah.
And we should be satisfied in that. Did I find it?
But the thing too is though, it will read it first.
Yeah. It is very little that we can know of the future state, but I'm doing this thing again where I can't.
All right.
It's so far away.
Is maybe all this
over
the
summer I'll get glasses.
This is Spurgeon's quote.
This is all Spurgeon's quote. Wow. No, half of that is my message. Oh. Let me start from the beginning. I've made it bigger. Okay. It is very little that we can know of the future state, but we may be quite sure that we know as much as is good for us. We ought to be as content with that which is not revealed as with that which is. He also speaks in Old English, yeah. So it's hard, mm-hmm. Okay? If God wills us not to know, we ought to be satisfied not to know. Mm. Depend on it. He has told us all about heaven that is necessary to bring us there. Like, yeah. First of all,
yeah.
That's so good. Okay, and if he had revealed more, it would have served rather for the gratification of our curiosity than for the increase of our grace.
That's fire.
You remember you said last week, you were like, how do all these old guys know so much? They're just so full of wisdom. Mm. Like, so anyway, I love that he has told us all that is necessary, all about heaven that is necessary to bring us there. That's all you need to know.
But you just nailed it.
Yeah.
The how.
Mm-hmm.
He's so full of what?
Grace.
No, you said he's so full of wisdom.
Wisdom, yeah.
And whose wisdom?
The Lord's.
It's one of the ministries of the Spirit we're going to talk about.
Yeah, ooh. But that's the whole thing is you, if you want to be a person that is so deeply rooted in wisdom, in the Lord's wisdom, not just like a ton of knowledge, just like true divine wisdom, well, pour yourself in the secret place.
Yeah.
You know, connect yourself with people who know more than you.
Yeah. That's so good.
You know, always be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Spurgeon is Spurgeon.
Yes.
And all these, you know, Tozer and they're just how. And
you said the... we know what we need to know, which is for sure. But that's not an excuse to stop doing what you're talking about, Alex, mm-hmm. because he will continue to give you more insights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll never know everything, of course. But and that's, again, going back to Revelation, and that's what I tried to say. Our goal in this series is not to know everything there is to know about end times and Revelation. It's it's to learn more about Jesus and why he's doing these things. And yesterday just gave us a peek into the throne room, which is also... it's interesting, if you look back from Revelation 1 through 4, how he sets up this book, it's all about, one is about Jesus and how John sees Jesus. Then he transfers to speaking to the churches. Mm-hmm. Now he puts the focus back on him so that we see him in his full glory before he starts all the end times. And it's, I hate to say this, but it's judgment against a sinful world.
Yeah.
But he does it to purify. That's his whole goal in here. But I don't know, it's just interesting to me that this is the first thing we see before we get into that, before we get into the seals and the scrolls and all that stuff.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I do, I mean, does anybody have story time from some?
Oh, I do.
Oh, go ahead.
So I had a guy come to me. So I'll be honest, I don't know his name, but someone told me that he's been in our church for a long time, maybe kind of went back and forth and hasn't come, but came back. But he brought his granddaughters last week. They're from Ohio, so they're visiting. And 8 years old is her. Last week, he wanted to come tell me that he called it Sunday school. That's how I know.
Aww.
That's my dude.
Like, yeah.
I know Sunday school back in the day. But he said, I just wanted you to know that their Sunday school was working. Like your River Kids is working. His granddaughter who's visiting, last week they taught about baptism and salvation. And so she went home and said, I want to know more about this to her granddad, the one I'm talking to. And so they sat down, opened the word together, and she gave her life to Christ that night.
Oh my God.
And she's like, I just want you to know, I mean, River Kids, they're teaching good stuff and it's working. Yeah. I said, did you tell Tracy and Tasha? Because they need to know that.
Yeah.
But, I just think it's amazing. We highlight on this podcast, not a negative towards us, we highlight a lot of the adult stuff that happens because that's what we see. That's what we're a part of. Mm-hmm. But God is working everywhere in this place. We highlight students too, but I mean, our volunteer River Kids adults are teaching the word of God and we see kids come to know Jesus. That's amazing.
It is amazing. That's beautiful.
So I was at swim lessons on Saturday morning and met this lady. I really don't think she comes to our church, but I know her kid was at the preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sharing with me how wonderful our preschool is, but particularly on just the Jesus foundation that that our directors all the way to our teachers like give to, you know, they pour into these children. And so her son at the time was 4 years old and he had so many questions about Jesus. And she says, my son wanted, she said, I want to accept Jesus in my heart at 4 years old.
Wow.
You know, and she's like, and I give a lot of that credit to the preschool.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I just got reminded of this story because you're talking about River Kids. I'm like, yeah, like this is some amazing things.
Yeah. I'm thinking about my own kid because we were taught even camp. So it's still like the preschool camp. And last night we were getting ready for everything. And he was asking me like what the week's going to kind of look like because it's the first week. And I just read off the list of what it was. It was like, there's a bounce house this day. There's water day on Wednesday, blah, blah. And he said, you're forgetting one thing. And I was like, what? I thought he was going to say pizza day. And he said, and we're going to learn about Jesus.
Yeah.
So he's excited to learn about that. So
just put them. Yeah. We've talked about this. Just put them around it.
Yeah.
Kids pick up on stuff.
Mm-hmm. They do.
So do
they
adults. Do.
Yeah. My favorite, not to be random, but like that preschool kindergarten graduation a few weeks ago, my favorite aspect of that entire ceremony was the preschool video where they were talking about like what you've learned this year.
Yeah.
And like, I know these teachers, they didn't just script these kids, you know, and almost every single kid was like, Jesus, I learned about Jesus, you know, and again, like this is everything.
Yeah.
Yes. A kid can just say one word, but this is everything.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, wow.
I just love the continuity continue, whether it's just here.
Yes.
Whether it's preschool, whether it's River Kids, even kids care. There's just such a sweet, anything revolving around kids. I love how intentional all the people who are in leadership are to pour Jesus into our kids. Mm. It's amazing.
To pivot a little bit.
Pivot.
That at the end of first service yesterday, when Liam was closing and he was just being obedient to Holy Spirit.
That was powerful.
Oh my gosh.
That was powerful.
Park and I to lay hands on this
young
kid. Well, after speaking with him, he just graduated high school. And Park did an incredible job praying for him and speaking with him and honestly just trying to get him to like, hey, if you don't have a home church, we would love to have you here. And I'm just observing this young man about to go to college. And I kind of just stopped the conversation and I said, hey, man, what are you feeling? And because the kid went from like such a spiritual moment to then like, we're just conversating. And I was like, no, let's return. What are you feeling? And then he started to cry again. And he's like, I've just felt so distant. And I was like, well, what do you feel right now? And he says, I just feel his love. Like it's not stopping. I feel him so close, you know, and he's weeping. And I'm like, well, let me pray for you again. You know, and I grabbed his hands and his girlfriend came and just prayed a special prayer for them. But he's genuinely seeking the Lord and had a genuine encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Oh my gosh.
He's never felt a touch like that.
Oh.
So
how often have we heard that recently?
Yeah.
I just love that he's doing that.
He, Cherm knows him from football.
Wow.
He played football at Clover.
Wow.
When I see a kid that's 18 years old like that come down, no one brought him down. He came by himself.
He came by himself.
Arms up. I mean, he was that's when I'm like, I need to worship.
Wow.
Like this young man is feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. Was, how amazing.
Genuine tears there.
But that's the scene at the throne. Like we talked about that. Like, can you imagine what was happening around the throne for that young man? And that should encourage us here on earth. When we see those things, that's what I was about to get to that. I'm like, bro, I tried yesterday, and this was not me, I know, but I tried my hardest to teach this with power because this is what this is. Like, we can't go into this and read this and not be overwhelmed. But at sometimes the communication of this needs to also back up.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not that the Holy Spirit needs help. That's not what I mean.
Yeah, but like, because we're mere humans.
We limit it.
We limit it. But then also as a communicator, because you're human, if when you're speaking on, there are specific passages, they will pump you up. And you, and that was yesterday. You're like, y'all need to get this.
I know. I'm like, this is, you know what's so funny? Good. I thought about this. This, we remember back when we did the all in the auditorium circle worship that Sunday?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, this, we read this passage, the holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But remember around that time, we kept coming back to Revelation 4.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny to me that we now got to teach on the entire the entire chapter.
If I can say anything about you for the little time that I've known you, you have always had a natural incline to this passage.
I know, and I don't know why.
It's always been, I mean, the Holy Spirit always brings you back. Always. And it's been in times where, like, whether you even understand it, like a pinch, it's like, but your spirit's like, Ryan, I'm pointing you to Revelation 4 all the time. That's what I've always
That's
known
actually
about you.
Funny because I could see that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I think back over different periods of time,
student ministry, all that stuff. Like,
it's the holy, like, there's something about when you just reading, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I don't know. That just, does something to my soul. Mm-hmm. Worthy are you, our God, oh God. I love this. For you created all things, and it was by your will that they existed.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could understand the depth of that one little sentence. Mm-hmm. It's by his will they existed, or we existed. Yeah. That is...
Which means we're still in existence
because of his will.
Because of his will, because he's still sustaining it.
Oh, but we sit on our baby thrones and think we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like.
Well, I read a thing about the holy, holy, holy. And I know we know this, but I'll just read. I mean, we've talked about this amongst ourselves, but just in case anyone is listening, they do not rest day or night saying, holy, holy, holy. The cherubim constantly repeat the phrase, holy, holy, holy. God's holy nature and character is declared and emphasized with a three-time repetition. Mm-hmm. In Hebrew, the double repetition of a word adds emphasis, while the rare threefold repetition designates a superlative and calls attention to the infinite holiness of God. It's the only one. Like, that's why we say that. They do not rest. This is a cool thing. Mm-hmm. They have no rest, yet they have no unrest either. The sweet content they take in their continual employment is fitter to be believed than possible to be discoursed. So they're just—
Who is this smart person?
Their last name is Trapp, T-R-A-P-P.
Oh, yeah. Chop. So I was listening to somebody talk about this scene, and we don't know what this looks like because he says the four living creatures, they cover their, but they have, each have six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and they never cease to say. So it's, he kept saying like, what they're doing is they're worshiping, holy, holy, holy. And then they look and they see the throne and they're like, oh, holy, holy. Like they get a new revelation every time they see him.
Oh my gosh.
Like they're never, I wouldn't say satisfied is the right word. Like they get something brand new every time they have a glimpse of what they see. Like they don't get tired. They don't get used to it. God gives them something new. And that's why they're like, holy, holy, holy. Let me see. Holy, holy. You know, they keep seeing something brand new. It's
wild. And
but for all of eternity, that's why this passage has so much power. It's like for all of eternity, they see something new every
time. This used to be a thing. We've talked about this. Like sometimes it felt like, perseverance doesn't feel like a great reward, blah, blah, blah. So that same kind of concept I've almost had about, especially being younger, like I love life. I want experiences. That's what I like want and crave. And so when you talk about, well, die to your flesh here so that you can experience eternity, but then the description of eternity, especially when you're young, it doesn't, I don't even want to sound blasphemous by saying it now because I wouldn't say this now, but
we feel it.
That people might think that's not a great reward, to go and to say holy, holy, holy. But that description of that, there will always be a new revelation of how awesome he is. Mm-hmm. That the experience that young man had on Sunday, that was a glimpse, that was a revelation. To do that constantly, to do this for eternity, like for the angels to do that, to have a new revelation.
In heaven, we don't understand what true joy is because we're so blinded by sin.
Yeah.
In heaven, when we have the purity of what joy really is, we will never get bored or used to. But also, we got to remember too, like your whole life is an act of worship. Yeah. We're not going to be, and I hope this isn't blasphemous, gathered around the throne nonstop doing this. That's for the angels.
Yes.
That's a created being.
Yes.
And that is their job.
Yeah, I'm
we
glad
will
you touched
enjoy
on that.
Mm-hmm. The benefits of heaven.
Well, because we've just talked about, we've just done Revelation 1 through 3. There will be roles. There will be things for people
will
to
give
do.
An authority. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this looks like.
Yeah, I mean,
but in the scripture, to lead nations.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, but there will be times, talking about this passage, there will be times where we all are gathered together corporately to worship, but we also have, we'll have lives. It's so hard to say. We'll have lives, not like earth, but we will have things and roles and we'll enjoy
responsibility.
Everything.
Right.
Yes.
Is it responsibilities? Is that the word to use? I don't even know if that's the right word.
We don't know. You know what I mean?
But
we
don't want to be.
If someone's given authority.
Yeah.
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 Special authority or blessings or rewards. And I think you'll have different responsibilities and roles. But it'll all be, remember, it'll all be so joyful.
Yeah.
It won't be nothing like we're thinking here. And I love how this one guy says this in Revelation. This is the goose.
Goose.
Talking about symbolism, because what we see of heaven is a symbol, is a symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep in mind the nature of symbolism. The symbol of what we read is always less than reality, meaning the reality of heaven is greater than we have the description of or that you can comprehend in your mind. Mm-hmm. So we can paint the picture of what it looks like and it's nothing compared to what it'll actually be.
Well, maybe we touched on this last week too, but it's also... This is just John, and he has a holy revelation. Like, how do you even have the language for what you're seeing? And then how do you describe it? And, it's just.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
He describes it with rocks.
Or
stones. Yes. You know what I mean? I'm not downplaying what he's saying.
Yo, funny
he uses
story.
Jasper and
funny Camille. Story. First service with MJ.
Mm-hmm.
When you got to the part of the Jasper, he immediately Googled. And so you're teaching, you're talking about the Jasper and all that, and he Googles Jasper and he starts scrolling down Google images and he's like, oh, wow.
Oh,
and
I love
I was
him.
Like,
bro, he's
that's
you know,
amazing.
That's why I was like, Brandon, you got to see this.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is incredible.
Oh, I love that. I want to go into this. So I don't want you to have to totally recap all of the things that you spoke on Sunday. But I mean, we were only like halfway through, weren't we?
Yeah.
So
there are a couple
four verses.
Yeah. There are a couple of things I do want to go back and touch on. Let me pull up where I wanted to go.
I'll tell you, I was not the entire time studying this. And the very first verse I read, I was overwhelmed where it says, look. And after I looked, it's like, what is John thinking?
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
Yeah, man, I was like, man, a human got to see the throne of God.
Yeah.
That is, oh man, you can see why he went back to his island by himself. He's like, I'm good. I saw what I'm going to. You can do whatever you want to me.
Yeah.
The come up here phrase just has me undone. Like in general, I know they just put that, whoever just put that album out. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Put come up here.
Yep.
And I'm like,
it's
just
so
a
good.
Beautiful invitation. And
yeah,
it's such a simple phrase, but it gives me all the feels.
Calling Peter out on the boat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Come here.
There, in a couple other chapters, it's like, come and see, he just keeps saying these things.
There's the invitation.
The invitation. Yes. Oh, I love it.
And I love too, he heard sound like a trumpet. And then he says, come up here. I will show you what must take place after this. So he's saying, I need you to see so that you can write and basically report through scripture. I need you to write what you're about to see. When he says, I'll show you what must take place after this, he's literally talking after John passes away in the future, in the end times. Like, I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the next couple generations. So you want to go through it or what?
Yeah, I do. So it says, immediately I was in the spirit. I did want to read like this little commentary on that too, because people are, that can be confusing, but it says in the spirit. So where was his body? Where was John? Was John's body in heaven also, or was it just his spirit? It says, this is impossible to know. Mm-hmm. Paul, when he had his heavenly experience, he didn't know if he was in the body or not. So it's just, that just helps. At least it's a non-answer, but it's
not
an answer.
Again, we can't understand what Paul doesn't even know. He's like, I don't even know how to describe this. I don't know if I was in my body or not, but I know what I saw.
We are, this is why it's important to understand that we are of spirit. Mm-hmm. Haven't you experienced 100%. That before? Like, my body doesn't feel regular. Like, it can't contain all of the spiritual things.
I had a dream one time where I saw my spirit leave my body. That's crazy. I've had two dreams.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, one I will not talk about on the pod. I might tell you people if they asked. Yeah. Or like, I don't want to share on the pod.
We'll see who comes up and asks.
It's a little, I don't know. But the first one, I guess I'll just share my dream. Y'all ready for this?
Yeah. I'm scared.
So I was at, this was when I was living in the apartment here at Marlin Bay. And I was watching my two boys. Penny wasn't born yet. And I took a little nap on the couch. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of watching TV, chilling. I'm just on the couch taking a nap. And Liz went to go buy like groceries or something. I forget what she wanted to do. Regardless, here's the dream. Oh, actually, I had the dream that night. And I shared it with Liz that morning. And then she left. And I took a nap. But before that nap, the dream the night before, all for context, was this. I'm in a car. I'm behind the driver on, you know, the left side of the car. And we're in like a Malibu highway sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with three other guys that I grew up with, specifically in music ministry. And this is where it gets crazy. I feel in my spirit. And when I say that, like, I literally feel like in like near my stomach area, mm-hmm. Brace yourself, like get ready. And I'm like, what's about to happen? And then all of a sudden, I hear heavenly trumpets. And that's the only way I can articulate it because I have nothing to compare it to mm-hmm. except I heard heavenly trumpets. And I tell you what, the second I heard this, I'm like, he's coming back. And I left my body. I literally, within that thought, I just like skyrocketed out of the car in my spirit, went through space. Never looked back. And that was the dream.
Dang.
So I wake up that morning. I tell Liz the dream.
Was the earth round?
I oh never looked gosh. Back, Ryan.
Oh,
smart. You ain't looking back. But I ain't looking back. I'm like,
and then I was going so fast, yet though. I was like, this is the craziest dream I've ever had. Regardless of that, I tell Liz that dream. And this is where it gets funny. She don't think it's funny. I tell her the dream. Cool, whatever. Well, then fast forward. Here's my nap time with the boys. She's calling me and I don't pick up.
Uh-huh.
She's calling and calling. I'm not picking up. I'm taking a nap. She opens the door. She gets home. She's crying. She's like, I've been calling you. I thought you died.
Because
of this dream.
Oh my God.
And I'm like here, like half awake, like what?
Like,
and she is like weeping.
Heaven.
She's good, like, bro. Yeah, I'm like, I had a great dream. I had a good nap, you know,
oh
feeling
my
good.
Gosh.
And she is hysterical. Like, I thought you died. Why haven't you
that's
picked
funny.
Up? And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
That's hilarious.
So I was in the spirit.
Yeah, so that was, I guess, one of two experiences where, like, mm-hmm. I've always wondered if that was even real. I've heard people talk about, if you want to call it a quote-unquote out-of-body experience, whatever. Yeah. I've always, you know, heard stories, seen people, met people, mm-hmm. but it was never personal until that one night.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Get ready, brace yourself.
I don't know what exactly John means by I was in mm-hmm. the spirit, but mm-hmm. I do think, like, I don't think he was... Well, he could have been. He could have been protected. I don't know. But I don't think he was in his physical body per se.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Was he asleep? And then I don't. Who knows? But because it says on this same thing is that he said the same thing in Revelation 1:10 when he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He heard behind him a great voice as a trumpet, and that was when he saw Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't know, but
interesting.
It's
just so fascinating that God gave John this vision and other people too. Daniel. Isaiah, mm-hmm. David, they all got to mm-hmm. see glimpses of that. I never put two and two together that song at the end when it talks about his hair is wool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quote back to Daniel, a reference to Daniel mm-hmm. in his vision.
Yep.
It gives more depth
that
to
song.
The song.
Oh, yeah.
That song. Bro.
No, Cassidy crushed it.
She did
oh,
too.
Oh, my
Holy
gosh.
Crap.
She oh, can did. We talk about the entire squad?
Yeah.
On Sunday.
What a beautiful
what
squad.
On earth. Oh my God, I showed up and I was like,
let's go.
Oh, people about to get saved.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And they did.
And they did.
Yes.
We saw amazing. It. We seen it.
Amazing. So then he, and behold, a throne set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. Mm. One of the, from this commentary that I
did you see how he pointed loved. Out that the first thing he noticed was the throne? You see it on there somewhere.
Mm. The throne was the first, was what first impressed John. And it is the centerpiece of this vision. John was fixated on the occupied throne, and everything else is described in relation to the throne. That's good.
But,
that's really good.
But he talks about the throne, then the one who sits on it, but it's representation of victory. He is now ruling over all things.
That's so good.
I like the one sat on the throne, where he kind of breaks this down. The throne is not empty. There is someone who sits on this great heavenly throne. The throne is a powerful declaration of not merely God's presence, but of his sovereign rightful reign and his prerogative to judge. This is another quote about that. We can't.
Yeah, go ahead. I was about to say that way, that makes perfect sense, because the rest of this book is God judging the world.
Yes.
Or the earth.
So it shows you his authority
in
to
a
do
righteous
so.
Way. Right. Yes. So you need this vision so that the rest of the books make sense. He can. He's worthy to do this. Mm-hmm. And he's the only one who could, because he sits on this throne.
Yes. So we can't rightly think much of anything until we settle in our mind that there is an occupied throne in heaven. You kind of led us in this. Like, he is on the throne. You're not, you're not on the throne. You have, and everything about your life will change if you think about an occupied throne in heaven. There is someone that we answer to. There is an authority over our life, and you will find out that that is true at some point. And the hope is that it would drive you now to live as if there is an occupied throne.
I thought the point that was also like the utmost solid was when you were talking about how it's not just an occupied throne, but this is a permanent throne, but ours is so temporary. Like our thrones will be crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As much as you try to be on your own little throne. And I was like, if people can just try to even put that in context, this is a throne that will last forever and nothing can go to battle with that. And ours is so like,
nothing can go to battle.
And how is it working?
Yeah.
How is it working question is pointed. I felt like that cut through a lot of junk for people. Yeah, I mean, same.
Like, for all of us.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Same. Brandon and I were just talking the night before. And I mean, to be transparent, I think a lot of our, like, our just control over things. Just trying to make sure that we got all the things that we need and all that kind of stuff, and not really, like, ultimately just saying, Lord, do whatever you want to do.
Well, and that's the thing, too. It's not always the worst. Like, I'm not trying to say the worst thing about you. That sounds terrible. It's even the little details that we stress over that are irrelevant, but we put ourselves on God's throne and try to reign and rule over little decisions of life that if we would just trust and faith, it'll work out.
Yeah.
Because you're in the spirit.
That's so good.
But so it's not just big things, it's the little things too.
So I want to move through the descriptions because I think these are really powerful too. This is what John saw at the heavenly throne, going into Revelation 4:3. And he who sat there was like jasper, did you say sardius?
No, carnelian. Carnelian?
Oh, you said that. Okay,
well,
this version of that.
Yeah.
Sardius.
I'm going to look it up. But it's the carnelian. Same thing, because another version is a ruby.
Okay, so it's all red.
Yeah.
It's a red stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne and in appearance like an emerald. So I like this first quote. And he who sat there was like, as John described the occupant of the throne, he did not describe a distinct figure. Mm. There is no description of the divine being so as to point out any similitude, shape, or dimensions.
Wow.
This description rather aims to point to the surrounding glory and the engulfance of the person of the Almighty King. The engulfance than the person of the Almighty King. Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of hit me in a moment too. It's like you can't describe the physical nature of God. What you see is the glory that glows from him, but also around him.
Yeah.
Yesterday you kept doing these like little subtle they're kind of jokes about like references. You said like the Rihanna thing, shine bright like a diamond. You did like another one. I was just cracking up. But in this message, I just kept thinking how the world always tries to paint some sort of picture of heaven, but they try to like market it and like put it in film, put it in TV shows, put it in music. And then you read the word and you read the true majesty of Jesus and it's like nothing compares. Mm-hmm. But we try. Mm-hmm. We really do try, you know, to like paint these pictures of the heavenly realm.
And sometimes it's so boring.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like whoever's God, they're just like sitting on a cloud.
Yeah, but they're, and that was the other thing. It's like they're all influenced from biblical detail.
Yeah.
You know, like I just.
Well, that's what I mean. Like you can't describe, John couldn't describe it. We can't describe it.
Yeah.
But this is all that the Lord gave us to know.
Like yeah.
You're talking about,
yeah.
He wanted us to know that it's just a shining glow of glory.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means, that's what we're supposed to know. Jasper.
Yeah, I wanted to talk through this. This was pretty cool.
Well, because it's important to know too. So like Jasper back then was more diamond. So it's just the purity of almost glass, like see through, just radiance.
Yeah.
And the ruby or sardius or whatever it is the red glow. Mm-hmm. So a couple things happening.
So one of the just possible descriptions here, it says like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. Mm-hmm. And so instead of describing a specific form or figure, John described emanations of glistening light in those two colors, white or diamond or clear, you know, clear being the jasper and then red being the sardius. And then it says, perhaps the two colors are meant to communicate the glory of the empty tomb.
Wait, would you read that verse?
Which from Matthew 28, 1 through 3.
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, I'll read it really quick. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary.
Oh, that's fire.
And the other Mary.
It's verse 3.
Okay, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. The door sat. I'm sorry, back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his. Oh, what's this word? Raiment?
I have the white ESV, which says his appearance is like lightning.
How do you spell that word?
See, every time you pull up on the Blue Letter Bible, it'll immediately just do KJV.
You said raiment?
Raiment.
How do you spell it?
R-A-I-M-E-N-T. Clothing.
His appearance like lightning and his clothing white as snow.
And so, but it goes on to describe this, that, and the sacrificial love of Calvary indicating the blood, the red indicating the blood. So it could be that, or this was very neat. Or perhaps they are linked with the first and last gemstones in the high priest's breastplate.
Wow.
And so that's based out of Exodus 39, 8 through 13. And it's like four rows of stones on the breastplate that the high priest would wear. Mm. And the first row was sardius. The first stone in the first row was sardius. The last stone in the last row is jasper. So it takes us back to, you know, all the Bible being so interconnected that we do not have a high priest. Like he is our high priest. We do not have a high priest unable to sympathize. So think about that it's radiating from and you pointed that, like that the glow is his desire for us. It's his actual love for us. He's not a distant God that's not thinking about us. It's not, we just happen down here. It is his great love for us. So
But remember, it's love and the rainbow we're about to get to is mercy. Yes. So those are the two things he wants you to know for all of eternity. How much I love you and how much mercy I have for you. That's why you're here, you know?
Yes.
What was I about to say? Oh, so here's a question.
Well.
MJ hit me with a question. And I was like, that's a good question. So let me ask you, who is John talking about as he's describing this?
You mean, is he talking about God? Is he talking about Jesus?
Yes. Because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
But this is talking about one throne. So the question MJ said, and because I'll tell you, a lot of guys that I was listening to in preparation of this were saying, no, this is Yahweh God.
Yeah.
Jesus is at the right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And MJ said, well, when Jesus resurrected, they saw him and they could be in his presence. But how come John couldn't see him then and on the throne, but he could see him in the flesh, you know, on earth after his resurrection? I think it's because this is God.
I feel like it would make sense. So he hears Jesus' voice, but in Revelation, is it one? I mean, when he sees the...
That's Jesus.
So that's what I'm saying. He's described what he saw. And these, I'm sorry, no, I'm like not a Revelation master, so I get scared to even say anything.
Neither are we.
So is it Revelation 1? He sees the lamb that was slain, and then he's like, oh no, like who will open the scrolls for us? But then the angels
Revelation
say, don't
5.
Worry.
I read ahead. Yeah, that's
okay.
Revelation 5.
So he sees Jesus as the lamb.
So wait, before you go there, this is, it was so important, I hate to say, to be there this week, or at least to listen to what we talked about, because that's the throne. Then you go to 5, which is still in the same area. Yes. It's still the throne room. And then he sees Jesus and he starts to cry. Once he sees this throne, he's like, then I saw at the right hand of him who's seated on the throne.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's got to be God.
Yeah. Right. Then he sees Jesus.
I think he's referring to, you know, God the Father, Yahweh. Everything that he describes is Jesus in the context of like the radiance. Like Jesus is those things.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's hard. They're not separated.
They're not.
Yeah.
But Revelation 4 sets up 5 because he sees the throne, he sees Christ, and then he gets to, but who could do it? Only one.
He's worthy to open the scrolls.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I think that's cool too. 4 and 5 is in the same area.
You told us to like either read ahead. And so I did go back and I guess I read ahead a little bit too, but oh my gosh. Anyway, that was a great question. I do want to talk about the rainbow because I thought this was great too. And I said this to you already, but I'll say it again. I just thought the way that you addressed that the rainbow is a symbol of God's covenant. He is the inventor of it. He created it. And it is a symbol of his mercy towards us. So you talk about that he wants us to know his love, his deep desire for us, but also his mercy. And I just thought it was very tasteful the way that you did that because, we all know what's happening in the world and there's, you know, Pride Month and you see rainbows everywhere. And there are very genuine people who want to know the Lord and they struggle with like homosexual feelings or it's a real struggle in their life. And I never want to just lump them in with either a group or an ideology. There are some people who are really, it's really hard for them. And so I never want them to feel condemned because I never want to be bunched in with a group of a bunch of hateful Christians either. Mm-hmm. You know, there are groups that do different things differently than how I think about Jesus that I'm like, yeah, don't lump me into that. And I think there are people like that too. And so I get nervous when churches talk about things pride related that we make sure that we're not condemning a person who it really just struggles with sin, their flesh nature. And I thought the way that you did it was so amazing because you were highlighting that it's just that the rainbow has been used by a movement, by a group of people misappropriating what God intended.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I didn't even mean to go into that spiel. I just thought you did a really great job. Well, it was very tasteful. And I don't feel like anybody would have felt, I want the Holy Spirit to convict, but not, I don't want people to feel condemned. And I think that you handled that so nicely.
Well, and I'll be honest, how do I say this? I don't want us to clap.
Yes,
that brings more. You don't clap when I ask you about your addictions.
Thank you for that. Always. That's where my heart posture has been.
Yes,
that those moments sometimes, and again, if you are the person that claps, like I get why you clap.
I
get it.
What's your heart behind clapping?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's there is this thing that you have to ask yourself as an individual. It's about to get tasty.
Yeah.
When you talk about just a preacher, or let's just say Ryan right now, you mentioned something on stage and let's say you're quote unquote like speaking against homosexuality or speaking against a particular political party, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people just get riled up like, amen. You know, like they just like, and they start clapping for these things. Why I don't understand like why you're not you don't shout all the time but why shout for those things?
I was about to say, we're not trying to go at people but no one clapped when we talked about the brilliance and radiance of God,
and that's our posture that we have to really
is that too much
no but
it's not too much but, it's too good
but here's a that's the other thing about like oh man it's about to get salty. What it does, it reveals spiritual mixture and exposes what's actually in our heart, you know? And what happens is we commit spiritual adultery because we're so consumed in thinking like that we're okay and we're self-righteous, you know? And again, like we want to see a purified world, but again, you're not the hero. Jesus is.
Yes, yes.
You know? And so when Sally mentions how she loves how you articulated about the rainbow. We want people to come to Christ, and we particularly want broken people to come to Christ. Yeah. And people, and if you struggle with homosexual feelings or attraction, we don't ever want you to feel condemned. Mm-hmm. But we're also not going to be like, hey, what you're doing is okay.
Right.
Like that we stand pretty firm mm-hmm. on these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because we love you.
Yeah, because we love you. We want to see you free from things mm-hmm. that Jesus himself has said, this will lead you on a bad path. Mm-hmm. Like this, I'm the way.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm glad that you said that because, man, the parts that I cringe is like, I get it that you want to clap in these moments, but I just don't think it's very healthy at times.
Yeah.
I felt guilty after second service because, I went back and listened to this. During that time when I talked about this, I paused and I didn't mean to. I think I helped initiate class because I paused for mm-hmm. a second, but that was not my intent. And then I was like, I almost said something as soon as they clapped. I was like, don't clap for that.
It's that people also feel the desire in them for the church to have to be vocal about certain topics. And that's also that's also something that I understand as well.
Again, yes, there is a protection aspect that we think that we protect or stand for.
Yeah.
But it pushes people away when you start clapping because we spoke out against a sin. But again, nobody clapped when I talked about pornography or fear or addiction.
But
no one clapped about that.
That's what it exposes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know?
And go off this hard on people.
No, I know, but
it's good for all of us.
It is very good.
Because the world will make us feel like it's us and them. And mm-hmm. it's like,
right.
The reality is the reason that I want people rescued out of that is because I've been rescued out of mm-hmm. great things.
Yep.
And there are things that I'm really glad that God broke my pride mm-hmm. in. Do you get what I'm saying?
Like, yes. We've talked about this in the pod where like David mentions to the Lord, thank you for your gentleness. Mm-hmm. This word gentleness is really something that we have to be, we need to posture ourselves even more in because it's in those moments where you clap. Sometimes you have to wonder, man, am I in a gentle spirit mm-hmm. and a loving spirit towards my brother or sister that deals with these things? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not afraid of pressure. I'm not afraid of speaking truth. But we can't speak truth without love. Mm-hmm. And so the question you have to ask yourself is like, what does love look like?
Yeah.
And I don't want to put somebody in this box where they feel like, gosh, 99% of the people in this building are now against me. Mm-hmm. No. We're exactly. for you.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is for you, mm-hmm. you know? And that's the thing, like, I'm okay with congregations that clap, but I always question the heart motive, mm-hmm. you know? And if this is the only reason why you're going to clap, you know, again, if we were to have an eternal perspective on New River Church, we're going to talk about New River Church. Mm-hmm. If we're going to just kind of, if you want to say critique or just diagnose the certain things, why did y'all only clap on these particular subjects?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you never clapped for my glory. Mm-hmm. You clapped for a truth, mm-hmm. but you never clapped for my glory.
Yeah.
I was in the room and you didn't clap for me.
Mm-hmm. Bro, I don't want God to judge us like that, you know? You know what I mean? Like, bro, you talk about being real.
Yeah.
If you go back to these letters, that's what he did to these churches.
Yeah.
And we are not separate from that just because we're in a different time than they are. God is going to look at us as a whole as he does individuals and be like, mm-hmm. y'all did a lot of things good.
Yeah.
But I love how you said this, but you clap more for a truth than you did for me. That's mm-hmm. That hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you honestly, like if you point that finger back at yourself, you clapped for the right to be right. Mm. And I think the goal in life is for us to be so broken where there's no need to have a desire to be right. Mm. Like I could care less, you know, as I grow up and we grow older, could things be less, how would you say, like, could they matter less?
Yeah.
You know? Because at the end of the day, you just want people to love Jesus and find the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know? So no matter what you're going through, mm-hmm. what is your advice to them? You know? Well, find the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
That's a good point, too. We have been promised that the Lord will, is the right word, vindicate? Mm-hmm. I don't know why I can't. Mm-hmm. That didn't sound right to me, but he will. He will vindicate his people.
Yep.
Remember in one of these letters, he said, I will make them bow down
mm-hmm. yep.
and you will see them and they will know how much I love you. We don't have to be right on this earth. Mm-hmm. That should not be our intent. Just be who you are. And one day the people that do tell you mm-hmm. you're wrong or throw hate at you or whatever, God will vindicate you. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Just be ready for him, not you. He's mm-hmm. the one who sits on the throne, not you. Well, with all that being said.
Yes. I know you have a lot to teach. Can I say this last thing about the rainbow?
I would love for you to. I just want to say real quick before you say it on the rainbow, is like what we're saying is, of course, we want to stand for truth, but let's love them. If you're going to clap for calling out that sin, then clap when we call out a sin that you struggle with. Yeah. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah. I think that's great. I don't have anything else to add to that because I think everything you guys said was perfect.
You just said you want to say something.
Well, I'm going to talk about the rainbow.
Oh.
I just mean in general, like, great job, guys. A throne says, I can do whatever I want because I rule. A promise says, I will fulfill this word to you and I cannot do otherwise. Ooh, and good. This says, a rainbow around the throne is a remarkable thing, showing that God will always limit himself by his own promises.
Wow.
Read that first part again. A throne says, I will rule.
A throne says, I can do whatever I want because I rule. A promise says, I will fulfill the word to you. So his throne, he has the rule and he has wrapped it in his own promise to have mercy. So he has limited himself. So this was, I can't remember where I heard this, or maybe it was Brandon, because he was like, any mercy, even anything that you see like in the Old Testament, if God ever quote unquote relented, there are certain versions that actually say, it's like a whole study I did on it, but that actually say God repents. It's not mm-hmm. for sin. It's not for anything bad. He just relents. And it is because even the blood of Jesus is covering anything his that wrath. You see. It's covering his wrath, even prior to. I can't remember the scripture. Brandon would probably be like screaming it in the car right now. Like, it's this passage. But where it talks about the past, present, and future sins. Everything covered by Jesus. And so this is what you see now. When people say, why does God allow so much bad in the world? Well, first of all, if God poured out his wrath on every sinful thing that ever happened, that means that thought that you just had, you'd be done.
Mm-hmm.
That one toe you stepped out of line, or a quote unquote out of line, or out of God's design, out of his will, whatever you want to call that, we'd all be done.
Yep.
So any mercy that you see right now, even before we experience, it's just, he's limited himself. He's limited the earth. If he had not made this covenant with the rainbow do you not think that he would have done this again already? Like the world is so bad and so anti everything that he stands for. And not just we're not just talking about the world. We're talking about ourselves. Yeah. Like we are so sinful. He would have been done with us again because he's that holy. So he made this promise. So that's, we're literally only alive. I think the earth is still here because of the promise that he made that long ago. So
his mercy limits his wrath.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why he says, this also represents, how did I say it yesterday? It's by his mercy that your life can flourish.
Yes.
That's the same thing.
Yes.
You know, he brings about life through his mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he displays that for all of eternity by the rainbow.
My mind was exploding. I couldn't even kind of keep up with what you were saying, like that his mercy brings life. Whatever you said after all that, you just kept going and going. And I was like, I just kept saying, wow, oh my gosh.
Just that holy moment where you're like,
this is too much goodness. I can't even handle it. But yeah, that's all. That's all I had.
It's because, so his... the emerald color represents life or creation. So he's saying mercy brings forth life, and without my mercy, life would not flourish. Yeah. And David says it, his tender mercies are all over his works.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's too good.
That is.
This is where I end.
What do you mean?
You got to just teach us. There was so much more. We got to talk about creatures.
Yeah, I want to go real quick to, so that was, what's crazy is that's just the throne, right? I mean, that was verse 3.
Yeah.
But around the throne is 24 other thrones. Different opinions on this too. Remember, we don't know everything there is to know about Revelation. Different people get different insights. No one could tell you for sure, but there's 24 thrones. Some say they represent the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes. Some say they're just actual humans, they're elders, of course, but they're just people who were not necessarily like apostles, but they were just believers in Christ who were obedient on this earth, and God elevated them to the level of an elder. No one knows. Mm-hmm. But the point is, they also represent just us as God's children.
Wow.
And it says clothed in white garments. Again, that's one of the rewards. But those aren't just, they're not like a toga. You know, yeah. what I mean? Like this mm-hmm. is a this is fine linens, but it stands for something. It's symbolic, and I don't know exactly what for. And heaven will understand the significance of these white garments.
Wow.
And then golden crowns, again, another reward for, if we go back to the letters, that's a specific reward dealing with persecution or
what
staying.
Is?
The crown?
Yeah.
Like
it's, I'm reading.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's not just a, not every believer gets this crown.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
those dealing with certain things, but have persevered in obedience wow. through different things. What are you reading?
This commentary. However, we never see angels crowned, but believers are.
Well, right. Well, angels are not exposed to what
exactly.
we are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's obedience. It's a reward for obedience. The yep. angels, it sounds bad saying this, but you know, we get elevated to different levels than they do, but we were created differently than they are
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Where am I at? Crowns. Oh, this was crazy. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings. First service, I kept saying pearls of thunder. Did you catch that?
I caught it.
I didn't hear you.
I had multiple people tell me that it's not pearls. But when I'm reading my little baby Bible, the little words, leave
you
me alone.
You need glasses too.
I think Ooh. I do. That's so embarrassing.
You have
times.
Glasses.
I wear contacts, yeah.
But you've worn glasses.
Yeah, and I feel like I have drunk goggles on.
Did you,
I can't
did
wear
you
those.
Did you catch Ryan second service when he was like, oh no.
No.
I was cracking up.
Bro, so at some point, I talk fast.
Yes.
And I get my words, like I say words faster than my brain.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I was like, his fiery eyes or something.
Oh yeah.
I forget what I said.
But you were like.
I was going. Bro.
You were going. And then out of nowhere, he like snaps out of it. And he's like, oh no.
And I was like,
it's about to happen again.
Fire. Oh no.
But me and Shelly were cracking up.
That's the Lord saying, bro, give him time
yeah.
to hear what you're saying. Slow down.
Slow down.
I'm trying. Also,
hilarious.
I kept looking at the timer. I'm like, I'm about 10 minutes over right now.
That was great.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that was funny. People.
Nobody cares, man. People. Yeah.
They want the word.
They
I
want
had about
the, yeah.
12 people be like, it's peals of thunder, not Aww. Pearls. And I was like, thank you. You
yeah.
are so sweet.
I love this.
And just smile and go to the back. No, I'm just kidding. I do want to get it correct.
Yeah.
But people that go to our church are mm-hmm. like,
they know.
He's normal. We get it.
We
get it. Anyway, so different views on this too. Will you read what David the Goose has about
the Goose
pearls of thunder?
I sure will.
And I'll share kind of what I had.
So it just says, from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Is that what you want me to read the commentary on?
Yeah. Well, just saying like the thunder represents voice or sound or music.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing, like around the throne, it's not just, this is a cool looking thing. There's things happening. You can't describe the,
it's one like guy a whole said, experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One guy even said it's even, there's a different sense that you
yeah.
smell. I don't know if that's true, but it's like it's every one of our senses is engaged
wow.
to the glory of God.
This just says that this is a likening to, or it's reminiscent of Mount Sinai.
Yeah. So, and that makes sense to me too.
Me too.
Another guy, and I love this interpretation of this, and again, this was all opinion, but his point on this was to help heaven meet earth, if that
mm-hmm.
makes sense,
mm-hmm.
or give us the idea that this does occur now.
Yeah.
And so, in scripture, he was saying there's different points where lightning represented how God would touch people.
Mm-hmm.
And whether mm-hmm. it's the Holy Spirit, not even saying like an actual lightning strike.
Do you guys remember this Mendez story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, that's what I thought about.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
And
where
I thought
she
about
got
Job
struck
too.
By lightning. And yeah, Job.
And so I tell the lightning bolts where to strike. Now, he's talking about physical, but spiritually speaking, when God gives a revelation, when God was like, how cool would it be if that is the Spirit touching you. And in heaven, it just looks like a lightning bolt,
Aww.
Which then gathers the people to worship Christ, but also celebrate. He just revealed himself to someone.
Oh my
gosh.
And
then boom, lightning. And then voices, the thunder is people just roaring
Aww.
In worship. I mean, he's trying to make
wow.
it come alive.
Yes.
Right? And this
and
is
it
not
does.
A dead throne. This
oh, yeah.
dude,
yeah.
this is an incredible experience.
Yeah.
So that'd be
wow.
pretty cool if that's happening. But.
Yeah. Okay, you got to get us to seven
right,
lamps
going,
of
going,
fire were burning before the throne and the
oh.
seven spirits of God.
Okay.
Tiki fire.
Go.
Also, keep in mind.
It does kind of feel like a tiki torches.
It does. And that, I was about to say,
I don't think it's going to be like that, right?
No, yeah. I do not think that we'll have tiki torches in heaven. I think that you, you're going to have a lamp of fire that is not, let me read this in a second. It is it's a pillar of fire. You know, like mm-hmm. in Bible interprets Bible.
Yeah.
The best way that you can picture this is that in Exodus that we mentioned. And I love how this says this. I'm going to read all of it. The Holy Spirit and the seven spirits of God referred to in Revelation is represented by the seven burning lampstands. Mm-hmm. But in other passages, the Holy Spirit is representative mm-hmm. as a dove or flame of fire. The lamps are important because the Holy Spirit is not ordinarily visible, right? So to become visible, he represents himself in a physical form like a dove or a tongue of fire. So again, it's that we can see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all present around the throne. And he wraps himself in fire, which is power, which is love, which is intimacy, so that you could see it.
Fuego.
But what it represents, I'm going to briefly get to this. I know we're running out of time, is the seven ministries that God pours out upon his people. So the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom and understanding. Mm-hmm. So this is what all these pillars represent. So around the throne is wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Mm-hmm. He's your guide. He's your advisor. You do this together. So again, picture these things represented. Mm-hmm. Like he's there with you. You're worshiping the one who got you through all these things and the struggles of life.
Yeah.
He's the spirit of knowledge and fear. Because he knows all things and the Holy Spirit reveals to you his knowledge, but it also makes us fear him, not in a scary way, but
a holy way.
A holy way, yeah. Yes. Because to fear him is to know him. What's that famous verse? The beginning of wisdom is fear.
Mm-hmm. Fear of the Lord.
Yes. So that's what he's saying. The more you fear the Lord in reverence, the more wisdom that you receive. So anyway, those are what those things represent. And when we get to heaven, this will all make sense where we are touched by counsel and might and wisdom and knowledge and fear. And then we get to visually see this represented on the throne, how he helped us.
Insane.
And that's why you worship.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, it all makes sense now.
Yeah.
And everything, that's how I got through that situation. That's how he helped me discern what to do. And now I worship you because now I can see it. Hmm. I've experienced, now I see it.
That's amazing.
Brian, you're doing really good at teaching this.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit. Then, there's a sea of glass, like crystal.
Mm-hmm.
No idea what this is like, but again, it just is like
it's the best way they can articulate it.
Yes. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if it's like just the sea, but it's calm. There's no waves because there is no rough. It's just the purity of water. And it is so clear that it's like glass, like crystal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we come together to worship.
Yeah.
And one pastor was like, man, this was crazy to me. I can't even articulate what he said. But as we stay in there and worship, then those pillars of fire will come and just be a part. Like God is with us in worship. Now, when we experience the Holy Spirit, we say, come Holy Spirit here. He'll just be intermingling with us as we worship on the sea of glass like crystal. How? Mm. No, I can't.
I literally
it's just
can't.
So overwhelming, man.
It is.
Just paint that picture. Like, we're the billions of believers. We have no idea if this is what it looks like, but this is what I want to imagine as.
Mm-hmm.
Just before the throne of God that has emeralds and rubies and diamond-like glow and pillars of fire. The Spirit of God is intermingling with people, then rumbles of lightning and thunder. It's like, what is happening?
I had this friend, he said it, the closest thing he's ever experienced to something like this, I think it was like Passion 2020.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And if you know anything about this stadium, the top opens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the countdown for 2020, going to the 2020 year, they're playing the song Good Grace. And it's that big part. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm,
so
I got just pumped.
They're doing countdown. The thing's closed. There's 60,000 people, almost 80,000 in this arena. And he's like, dude, the presence of the Lord is already like super thick. He's like, I got my hands raised. Everything's like going crazy. It's like a big army of just roaring. And he says, there's this countdown. It's like 10, 9. And they opened the ceiling.
Oh my
God. He says, the closest thing I've ever felt to anything close to this Revelation 4. He says, when you opened that, there's a rush of wind. Oh, it's automatic.
Wow. Oh my
So he's
oh,
like, wow. I have my hands raised. He says, as soon as the wind came in, he was just like shaking. He's like, oh my God, what is happening? He's like, oh, he's like, there's not one person. He's like, yeah, it was crazy.
That just reminded me, quick, I know we're in this, but quick story. So we, first service, after it, during that last song, when I said, stop relying on us to tell you what to do. And I meant that in a very like gracious way. Like you can do it. But anyway, this young girl, y'all know who it is, at the front of the stage was like, I don't know why, but the Lord told me to take off my shoes and walk forward. And I'm like, well, you're on holy ground. Yeah. She said, that's what I thought. I was like, I need to, before I come forward and worship at the front of the stage, or the stage, I need to take off my shoes. Mm. And she said, as soon as I did that and walked forward, I started getting real lightheaded. Mm-hmm. She's like, I thought I was gonna pass out. I was like, man, that's the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit. And she's like, my feet got tingly. This is a teenage girl, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. This is real. That's teenage why, girl. But that's why I asked that one dude at the end of first service. What are you feeling? Because if we could just stay in the moment and ask the questions of what people are feeling, you would see like sometimes it's really hard to articulate it, or there is these very similar things that happened, you know, like that happen, whether it's just like a fire, like a cold, like they're just, I don't know.
Yeah.
And this young girl feeling, you know,
mm-hmm.
just
I love that.
Overwhelming
that,
presence.
I was like, that's just a little taste.
Better get an usher to catch her. She might just drop.
Yeah. I told her, I was like, we're going to let you go. Yeah. We know you come back. we're going to give you some time. No.
I like so this is funny because we just started Hear and Obey with this. And one of these descriptions of the sea of glass is the word to us is a crystal glass, giving us a clear sight of God and of ourselves. Mm. And it references James 1:23, for if anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I just like that. I wish that it always gave me a different option than reading from KJV, because sometimes it can be harder to understand.
I was talking about this too. Revelation refers so much to the Old Testament.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's specific for Jews of this time when he's like, I tried to tell y'all and let me just reference what you already know. But that's cool too. It goes to the New
Testament. Well, it also gives 2 Corinthians 3:8, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord and are changing into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, so this part
creatures.
Yeah, this part we didn't even get to. And I tell you, it's not, I don't think it's as deep as we want it to be, if that makes sense.
Oh,
it just is what it is. But around the throne, on each side of the throne, there are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was a lion, the second an ox, the third was a face of a man, and the fourth a creature like eagle in flight. They each had six wings. Again, the wings were also full of eyes. And they never stop to say, holy, holy, holy. I'm reading this commentary.
Mm.
And I love how there's so many different interpretations of this. So again, we don't know. To me, the best conclusion is this represents all of creation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love how he describes it this way. So the lion is the mightiest of the wild animals. So it represents all of the wild animals.
Yeah.
The ox is the strongest of the domesticated animals. The eagle is the king of all birds, and man is the highest of all creation.
Hmm.
So those four created beings, angels, represent all of creation. So what does the Bible tell us that creation does? It sings out in worship to his glory. Hmm. So around the throne, this represents all of creation, birds, animal, man, creation, worshiping the throne nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is saying, this is what you need to do. Like, worship me nonstop. Holy, holy, holy. Now, they were created for that purpose. I want to go, where did I read it? I'll find it here in a second. But that's really what it is. It's not any more deeper than that.
Yeah.
It's just it's representing creation. And it uses those characteristics of things.
Not to be random, but the closest thing to like get super excited and pumped is like when you watch Narnia. With that scene with all creation, like, and they're about to go to battle.
Oh, yeah.
And you see the ox, you see the lion, you see the eagle, and like, there is that heaven-earth connection happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know it's like cinematic and it's a story, but to me, that's like the closest of like, holy cow, you know?
Yeah.
It just pumps you up when you see all that together.
Another thing, we will know what this represents, but I think for us today, that's what it represents. But this says, the multitude of eyes on these creatures indicates that these are living creatures, that they're not blind instruments or robots. So they know and they understand what they're doing. They have a greater insight and perception than any man. They see the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. And they know, and what that makes them do is nonstop worship.
I'll tell you what, you get to heaven, you see a lion speak to you. I mean, that's my whole thing though. Like when I started the welcome on Sunday, it was just like, we serve a supernatural God.
Yeah.
Why are we so flustered when we see something different?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like the Bible is full of things that we all would have been like, oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Mm. You know? And for our church, you know, like we're only responsible for our church, not anybody else. But like, there's no such thing as a balanced gospel. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing balanced about the gospel. Yeah. Like everything is extreme. Like mm-hmm. if your eyes cause you to sin, gush them out. Yeah, like yeah. fam, mm-hmm. you know, drink my flesh, you know, I mean, drink my blood and eat my flesh. Like yeah. there's nothing balanced about this. Yeah. And you know, I don't know. And that's, I don't want to go on a rant, but it's, the enemy ain't balanced either.
Yeah.
And that's why we see all these movements just going 110% like against Christianity.
I don't mean to divert off of this, but this is from the commentary that, and I never thought of this, because how do you picture Satan mm-hmm. and how is he like pictured here? This points out from Ezekiel 28:14, there's a description that Satan was once one of these high angelic beings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's just kind of when you picture what he looked like.
Yeah, these theories. You
does
know,
he get to keep that glorified?
Because he's a cherub.
Creation of a
being?
I don't know.
I don't know. Remember, I shared that theory with y'all last week, but it's weird. Yeah. You know, it's like a cherubim and...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting. Anyway, I didn't mean for us to go off.
No, you're good.
This is so good though. So when they, because they see, when they know mm-hmm. and they understand their worship... So this says too, these beings of great intelligence and understanding live their lives in existence to worship God. Yes. So all failure to truly worship God is rooted in a lack of seeing and understanding.
This is, I mean, if we could summarize anything, it's that. It's a seeing and an understanding. And so when people come in, I just feel like we're going full circle. It's not about hitting the hardest, mm-hmm. You know, standing on the truth and blah, blah, blah. It's, can you get people to see and hear? Or just make room for the Holy Spirit to get people to see and hear. That's really it. That's why I love that you're doing that. Don't let me speak to you. You're cutting out the middleman. Everybody needs to talk to God, to mm-hmm. have a conversation with God. Like that is what you're hoping to foster. Wow. Like when you come in, I hope you're not coming for a concert, because like we're not coming to play a concert. We're coming to give praise to the Most High God. When you're coming, you're not just coming to give a self-help message. You're getting people to connect with God, to start or continue a conversation so that hopefully the Holy Spirit will help them to see and to understand. That's the whole point.
And then you live your life in worship.
Yeah.
When you see and you understand, it should drive you to worship. I've said this a lot yesterday because I hit on a lot of musical worship and expressing mm-hmm. yourself. Worship is just aligning yourself with God.
Yeah.
And so you can worship in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. We highlighted this mm-hmm. because the Bible also highlights musical worship. But you worship in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But when you see and understand Christ, your life should be lived in a act of worship.
Yeah.
By seeing him, fixing your eyes on him.
So these are little red flags or something. If you're seeing an area where you're having trouble worshiping, mm-hmm. following in what God has for you, it's just an indicator there's a seeing or an understanding issue. Mm-hmm. That's your starting point for your conversation with God. Show me, what am I missing? What am I not seeing? Yeah. What if I don't feel like you're worthy? If I don't feel like I would rather choose you over this,
wow.
You got to show me what I'm missing.
So I just had this picture in my mind and it has a lot to do because I was watching basketball last mm-hmm. night, but it's this analogy of like when you see a game and you see, let's just talk basketball because you got more points in basketball, right? Mm-hmm. But you see like a particular team start to catch a rhythm and you see them scoring and now they're starting to dominate. Mm-hmm. As the progression of the dominance occurs, your flesh starts to like get pumped mm-hmm. and you start to celebrate and actually give worth to these people, right? Mm-hmm. So in the kingdom, here's the thing that's missing. It's we're missing the victories that the Lord's been scoring, and we're not connecting the dots. And so we tend to click restart again, you know. But it's like the Lord's been protecting. He's been loving, and we're not seeing the score. We're not seeing the continuous score.
Yes.
And so you come to church and it's almost like you don't even realize what he's done for you. Mm. You don't realize what he's doing for you. Mm-hmm. You don't realize what he's going to do for you, you know? And so there's this lack of connecting the dots. That's our worship and our praise are the things that we say with our mouth, the things we do with our hands and our feet. This should be a reflection of, wow, this victory of who Jesus is, what he's done and what he continues to do in my life. He keeps scoring on the devil. Mm. Like,
yeah.
Like, knock on that, dude.
And you know, it sounds funny, but this is a reality of like, what makes us pumped about things is when you get to see the story.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And if you're not seeing the story, well, then you're seeing other things.
Uh-huh.
You know?
That it makes the, however many times in scripture we're commanded, like really told to remember.
Yes.
Remember. We forget so quickly and we'll say, you left me out here, Lord. It's like, no, he didn't. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you thought back for a second, you would know that he's
faithful
you.
And he's true.
Yeah.
Going back to these creatures real quick, you know, this is what we talked about, opened up yesterday with. It's, we can't get caught up in the things that we don't understand, the what and the how. It's all about the why and the who. Mm. So don't get caught up of, oh, there's a creature with wings. No, get caught up in what they're doing and they're focusing their attention on Christ. The scariest of things to us in reality, like if we, like you said, you saw a talking lion on earth, you'd be terrified. Mm-hmm. But in heaven, they're worshiping.
Yeah.
And there's only one reason why, it's because he is worthy. Yeah. And we're going to see that next week.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Do you feel like we can land the plane? There's a lot. I mean, there's holy, holy, holy. We talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, the next is just that. That's the full description. So what we just read today and yesterday is the full description of what's happening around the throne. Now, verses 9-11 is just really talking about how they are all worshiping.
Yeah.
So the creatures bow, the elders bow, and they throw their crowns saying, you are the only one worthy. Did we talk about this on or before? For you created all things and it's by your will. Was that on the podcast?
You were saying.
Okay.
It just blows your mind.
That's the only thing I wanted to close with.
Yeah.
It's by his will, his mercies, that things existed and were created. So created and existed, two separate things. Created is the creation. Mm-hmm. Existed is the sustaining.
That's so good.
It's by his will that he sustains us.
Well, thank you for taking us through all of that. I'm going to put at least one of these articles, the one that I was kind of pulling from, I'll put it in here. If you want to go look at some more of the commentaries for the rest of these, if you just want to know more about the possibilities, again, you know, we'll never know it all. And so let's be content with what we do know. And again, go back to that. We don't know all the things about heaven, but we know the way to get there. And so eyes focused on Jesus. Let's do that together. Guys, do you have any quick, let's do like a rapid fire, like quick encouragement for people for the summer.
Oh, the summer?
As we take a break before we come back in August.
I would encourage people to hear and obey.
I love that.
You know, I don't know. It just feels like, get some rest, whatever that looks like for you, you know, and just hang out, enjoy time with kids. I don't know if you have kids, if you're listening to this, but that's what I want to do. I just want to sit for a second. I want to enjoy my family, whatever it's vacation or just sitting at home.
Yeah.
Like, don't take this out of school time for granted.
Yeah.
Granite.
Yeah,
like
for
the countertops.
Sure. For sure. That's good. That's good, Ryan.
That's really,
what about you, Alex?
Really amazing. Yeah. I just pulled up our church app for a quick second and honestly, just to remind, what the last 6 months have been like. And the Holy Spirit really took us on a journey from awake, O sleeper, to whom shall we go, to the letters, and now to hear and obey. And if 2023 can say anything, and what he's been speaking to us is he really wants his sons and daughters to be awakened. And the only way to be awakened is the paradox of heaven, which a lot of times it's you need to slow down, you need to die to yourself. Like, and so over the summer, summer is full of life, summer is full of fun. Please don't get distracted. Don't fall into temptation in the context of just looking away from the throne of heaven.
Yep.
You know, it is so easy
to
look for a way for a second.
Yeah.
And don't ever be deceived that a second will turn to more time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the nature of sin, the nature of flesh. Mm-hmm. I would just encourage you all, slow down, be present, love Jesus, you know?
Yep.
Like deeply, and he'll love you back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would agree with both of those things. And I think my final little encouragement is, if you haven't yet, find your secret place with the Lord. This is where so many of these things are remedied. Our sins, our worries, our fears, and unsuredness, or whatever you want to call it. It's in a secret place with the Lord. Find that time, not as a legalistic practice, but don't despise a practice of getting in the presence of God and pretend that it's legalism, you know? So it's like that funny little thing. Don't despise that. Find a practice of getting in his presence, laying everything at his feet, listening. And then once he says something, whether it's through his word, to your spirit, through a song, if you hear something, that's act so good on it. Don't do nothing with it. Don't just tuck it away. Do something with it. And I just feel like, this is how we become that end time church, you know, that we return to our first love and we're able to withstand anything that comes our way because we're not alone. We are with Jesus. So that's my final encouragement. I've loved this season with you guys. I will say, here's my, like, let me circle back to story time because I didn't have a story, but my story was I loved worshiping with you guys on Sunday. But, like, we don't get a time to just sit and be in the, like, a row together.
Yeah.
But we talk so much about spiritual things. We share a lot of life and what God is doing in our personal lives together. And so that, you know, and your wife came up, Liz came and sat with us too, or worshiped with us towards the end. And it just was so very special. Mm-hmm. It's special to worship alongside people that you know, because I know what you're praying for. Mm-hmm. I know the struggles in your life. Mm-hmm. I know what you're believing God for. And I get to do that with you. And you guys hopefully, and I think, do the same thing for me. And it's holy just God, something very special. So I love this podcast with you guys. I love trying to figure out who Jesus is more and more every week with you guys and being able to talk about him. Yeah.
That's so true.
All that to say, we'll see you next season. We're done.
Wait, we do have another season? We were done.
Oh, Ryan. Yeah, right.
You know what we should do?
I believe Ryan every time he's joking.
We should start, like, recording this and putting it on, like, YouTube or something.
Stay tuned.
Uh-oh.
Okay. See you guys in August. But, like, we'll really see you around church.
They will see us in August.
Yeah, you'll see us in August. Very good, Ryan. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
See you. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Overflow Podcast of New River Church, where we seek to provide authentic, practical, biblical encouragement beyond Sunday services. We hope you enjoyed this conversation, and if you'd like to learn more about New River, please visit us online at newriver.church or join us in person on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same place. May God cover you with his goodness and grace, and may Jesus always be enough.